This has been a question for all time. Why didn't God just come out and spell it out? Because you can't spell out the invisible. It requires us to have an imagination. And if we try to reduce it always to straight talk, so to speak, we're hearing a lot about straight talk, you don't get it. It's in, like, for example, the analogy of the plane, that you can sometimes gain a quicker apprehension of what is meant, about the invisible force that lifts you up. That's why they have always taught, and it's going to be in these writings, you're going to see, I'm going to refer to this subject many times, how there's what you might call universal truths in the stories that are not to be taken literal. But when we take the stories literal, we lose their universal application. This is what has plagued the learned from all the ages of time. They have a tendency to start thinking of the word of God in such absolute concrete forms that they don't get the, shall we say, universal message hidden in the story. I like to use the story to give an example. There's a Greek fable that goes, one day the fox was walking along and he looked up in a tree and he noticed that a crow had a piece of cheese that he had found and was just about to devour it. And the fox cried out to the crow, Mr. Crow, excuse me, sir, I just want you to know I have never heard your melodious voice, but I've heard it's wondrous. And if you, sir, would please sing a few bars for me and enlighten my heart. And the crow thought to himself, my goodness, no one's ever commented about my voice. I thought I was pretty good, but I didn't think other people appreciated it. I think I will share a few bars. So he opened his beak. The cheese fell. The fox grabbed the cheese and ran off. And the crow went, caw, caw. Now, is this a story about in ancient times, crows and foxes could talk?
I don't think so.
Is this about how really melodious crows can be if listened to properly? Or is this got a universal truth that when we use our heart or our sense of right, we notice it's about don't let flattery rob you of your treasure? This is what is meant by two ways of seeing. And that's why the Word of God is said in terms that you can see if you want to see the deeper reality of the story. Or you can go with the literal and just wind up, shall we say, in a disastrous sense of understanding. And this has been going on unbelievably. And part of it is arrogance. When we think our scriptures, that there's never an allegorical understanding, that it's always straight talk all the way. This is what happened to early believers in the story of Adam and Eve, story of Noah and the Ark, and we're going to get into that. How we can see the universal truths in these stories that have nothing to do with the literal way that they've been taken. And so we have to be careful as Baha'is now. There are some aspects of Baha'u'llah's writings particularly that are meant to be understood from a deeper sense to really capture their real meaning. And in there, there's a place where Baha'u'llah says the real meaning is the inner meaning, not the outer meaning. This is challenging because there are times when the outer meaning is the right meaning. When and how is that supposed to be? That's what our journey is all about. As we grow and develop, we become more perceptive as to which is which.
So now we're going to move on to quote 17. As to the words, immediately after the oppression of those days, they refer to the time when the reins of mankind will have fallen into the grasp of the foolish and ignorant, when the portals of divine unity and understanding, the essential and highest purpose in creation, will have been closed.
Stop. Would you mind? Let me make a comment. Because it's kind of a long quote. I just want to draw attention. When the portals of divine unity and understanding, they're connected. We need to understand, and that's what is really going to be gotten into, is what is divine unity and how does that an understanding coincide? But he says that the day will come when divine unity will not be understood. And understanding itself will not be there. And these doors have been closed. I suggest to you that we will witness, not only did that happen in the time of Baha'u'llah, it is happening today. And as we go on here, I think it will even become more clear how real this is for us today.
When the portals of divine unity and understanding, the essential and highest purpose in creation, will have been closed, when certain knowledge will have given way to idle fancy and corruption will have usurped the station of righteousness. Such a condition as this is witnessed in this day, when the reins of every community have fallen into the grasp of foolish leaders.
I don't think we need to spend a lot of time on that. I think if we open our minds, we can bring to mind examples of this in our day and time.
On their tongue, the mention of God hath become an empty name, his holy word a dead letter. And this although the fingers of divine power have unlocked the portals of the knowledge of God.
Now I want you to notice, he's speaking, this is taking place after he has revealed his revelation. I would say that we have to be careful we don't fall into this category, as others before us have. But in this day, we have no excuse for this to happen to us.
Their hearts seem not to be inclined to knowledge and the door thereof. They have found the door that leadeth unto earthly riches, whereas in the manifestation of the revealer of knowledge, they find naught but the call to self-sacrifice.
And this has been the challenge of religious people from the beginning of time, and it is true for us today. But even more troublesome, because we have more going for us. We are in a position to truly take advantage of the good times that have been, but at the same time to the new understanding of what needs to be done, and that we are a part of the few that need to rise for what we've been called. But earthly riches are a very tempting sidetrack to fall into.
So we'll move into quote 18. We cherish the hope that through the loving kindness of the all-wise, the all-knowing, obscuring dust may be dispelled and the power of perception enhanced, that the people may discover the purpose for which they have been called into being. In this day, whatsoever serveth to reduce blindness and to increase vision is worthy of consideration. This vision acteth as the agent and guide for true knowledge. Indeed, in the estimation of men of wisdom, keenness of understanding is due to keenness of vision.
One of the key ingredients to keenness of vision is to know what your vision is oriented around. In the past, it was oriented around how to get to heaven. But in this day, it is how to create the kingdom of heaven on earth. God's inspiration and our efforts are going to be needed. And we have to be able to see more clearly. And this requires a spiritual journey, that we pray that God will remove the veils from our eyes so we can see the true and beautiful realities of truth. And find our part to play. And that's what this whole course is really about. How to assist to reduce blindness and increase perception. So that we can find our way through this, shall we say, jungle of material blockages and illusions.